A Tragedy on the Deadpool 2 set, and The Defenders is coming out August 18th. This is episode 143 of Marvel Movie News, coming at you now.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Marvel Movie News.
We are the Marvel Movie News, and hello! Hello, everyone. This is episode 143, and it is coming to you from the Sanctum Sanctorum, which is actually the original base of the Defenders. So, Matt Key could not be here because Burning Man is coming up, and
Matt Key.
And he has lost his mind.
True.
But we're here. We're going to bring you all the news from all the studios and why you should be just as excited as we are. So please subscribe to us on iTunes at Marvel Movie News. You can find us at youtube.com/Popcorn Talk Network. You can find us through the Popcorn Talk's website, which is popcorntalknetwork.com. On Twitter, we're at Marvel News PTN. And Facebook, we should do that more often. Facebook.com/Marvel News Show. So follow us, like us, and if you tweet a link out to the show with a message telling people about the live show, then Aunt Manthony in the booth will retweet you. Aunt Manthony.
Hello, yes. Oh, he's quick on the draw. Yeah.
He has to get
his
bigger.
His retweets are
so
much,
get
yeah,
to.
Exactly. There you
he's
go.
He's small, he has to grow, then speak. I get it.
Indeed. Yeah,
yeah. Little tiny lungs.
Yes, and that voice that you hear is Coy Jandreau at CoyJandreau.
Always full-lunged and prepared to talk with zeal.
And next to him, he's an actor, he's a photographer, he's an all-around great guy, and he loves Marvel and all things nerdy. We have Justin Baker.
What's up, guys?
Friend of the show, fighting a cold.
I am fighting a cold today, so my voice will be a little more sultry. For all of you listening.
Yeah, well, the people in the Midwest will love that.
Yeah, you're going to enjoy this one, guys.
We have Colt Bedeau tweeting from the Star Jammer, and of course, our associate producer, Ollie Dreamboat. I'm
hey
sorry,
guys.
Drennan.
Oh, no, it's fine. I prefer Dreamboat, actually. And I'm sorry about last week when I came in and caused a disturbance.
Yeah, yeah, you Kool-Aid manned your way into the studio.
I'm not going to be hired by
Ooh,
S.H.I.E.L.D. anytime soon.
He came in like, shh, and then knocked everything down when he went
Perfect.
Into the door.
It was pretty awesome.
Nice.
Okay, so starting off at the beginning of our news, and I don't know if you want to take this or not, Coy, but there was some tragic news on the Deadpool 2 set. Joy Harris, a stunt woman for Zazie Beetz' character, who is playing Domino in Deadpool 2, unfortunately, she was participating in her first stunt in this film as Zazie Beetz' stunt woman, and an accident occurred and she died. So she was the first African-American female professional road racer. And they had actually practiced the stunt many times before filming. And it was just a freak accident. On the last take, Joy lost control of the motorcycle and went through a plate glass window. She wasn't wearing a helmet at the time because the character was not wearing a helmet for that particular stunt. So because of this, the production of Deadpool 2 has been suspended indefinitely. We don't know when it will resume. The release date is June 1st, 2018, but that may change because of this. And a number of cast members tweeted out on social media their feelings. Ryan Reynolds says that today we tragically lost a member of our crew while filming Deadpool. We're heartbroken, shocked, and devastated, but recognize nothing can come close to the grief and inexplicable pain her family and loved ones must feel in this moment. My heart pours out to them along with each and every person she touched in this world. Josh Brolin also had very heartfelt things to say. I think this is, we have to remember that, I mean, yes, the stunts that we see in movies are amazing and breathtaking, and they're also very dangerous. And I think this, like, this really rams it home. And a month ago, we lost
Walking
a stunt
Dead.
Person on The Walking
yeah.
Dead.
I think people assume because of, like, CGI that everything's fake, but it's not. Like, I think
it's
people
not.
Assume, like, with spectacle comes less and less, like, risk, but it's more risk because you're so used to seeing stuff. Like, if Doctor Strange had come out before Inception, that would have been mind-blowing. But since Inception already happened, we'd gotten accustomed to it. I think that's happening with stunts. Like, we're so used to Tom Cruise being a crazy person that we get used to these stunts, and, like, these are dangerous things that people are risking their lives for literally our entertainment, and that, like, the fact that stunt people don't even have an Oscar, like the fact
I don't even believe
it's stuff like that. It's just it's such a lack of respect for an integral part of the entertainment. Like, an Oscar is only worth what it represents, and if the Academy thinks that acting is great, they should also think that the other half of the performance is great. And Tom Hardy, when he was doing Mad Max, had his stuntman at every single press junket next to him and wouldn't talk without his boy next to him. And that's a stunt person. That's how it should be. That's why Tom Hardy's greatest. But we need that kind of representation for these people that are risking their lives for our entertainment.
Absolutely.
So there's no reason that this should have happened. And there's also, like, I get that the character's not wearing a helmet, but, like, man, we can rotoscope out a helmet. Like, I just, yeah. The safety there, it freaks me out.
Yeah, I think there's definitely going to be some discussions soon, especially with, I mean, this has happened way too frequently. Like, it should never happen, period. But the fact that it's happened a couple of times in the last few months, and we've got the issues with, you know, what was it, last year, 2 years ago, with the train.
The train. I mean, that was
yeah. Granted, that was very stupid. They were not following. But, like, these are big-budget productions where this is happening now.
Yes.
So it's like, if this can happen, like, yes, you look at the train situation, it's like, okay, that was stupid. These guys are idiots.
This was just a stunt, man.
But this is, like, we're getting to the point where it's like, oh, but if this can happen on these sets, like, there needs to be some talks about safety to it. And I don't know. I mean, again, I know that they go through a lot, especially on professional sets like this. I've been on sets where it's like, you know, if there's gunplay, it's like, hey, everybody, we have a crew call. Everybody comes and looks at the gun. We all see, like, this kind of stuff. So I do know that safety is a concern. I don't, in this situation, you said, like, a freak accident. I don't know where, you know, if corners were cut or not, you know.
I don't feel like corners were cut since they were testing the water so many times. Like you said, I mean, it's a freak accident. And, like, plate glass window, I can't imagine how. Like, I'm wondering if the bike lost control. I mean, they're investigating it now. That's why the production's delayed. They're making sure all the T's are crossed. But, like, geez, it's tragic.
Yeah. I mean, if they're going to agree that costuming and makeup is an important part of a film, they need to also realize that stunt is an extremely important part of a film.
We wouldn't have the movies we have right now without stunt.
Good
we
luck having an action movie without professional stunt people.
This team behind John Wick, that was all stunt. And this is that team, though. How does this team... So if it can happen... What I'm saying is if they
it
can happen to anybody.
And if you're going to risk your life for... a job, like, you should be honored for that job. Like,
you should get the recognition for it.
Be recognized as a legitimate, you know, award-winning career.
Well, continuing on with Deadpool in general, there were some new set photos that were released, and actually features a classic comics callback with it. You can see actor Ryan Reynolds. He's in full Deadpool garb, and he's sitting on a Vespa. That's a Vespa.
It reminds me so much of that video game shot when he's on the little, like...
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, the little spaceship. Yeah. Like, that's that to me. Like, they brought that to life.
Yeah.
Yeah, and apparently this is possibly an homage to Deadpool number 68, where Rhino has demolished Deadpool's car, but Deadpool still has to go after a target.
I know exactly what you're talking about. That is great.
Yeah, then Deadpool, like, makes a makeshift desk into a ramp and then goes right through to get to his target, and he's riding a Vespa the entire time.
And the legs crossed.
I love exactly the way he's sitting on that.
The dainty ankle is so...
Like, you know that's going, like, 70, and he's doo-doo-doo.
Mm-hmm. I love how, like, in these photos are. Like, we saw the photos of him, like, diving into that party and, like, everything else. Like, there's comedy and stills here. Like, Deadpool's such a funny character that Ryan Reynolds' physical comedy shows in paparazzi photos. That's impressive.
Yeah.
Yes, there's the moment.
Yes.
Oh, so excited.
Yeah, we also have some new set photos where we see Cable and Domino teaming up. So new set photos of Brawlin and Beats as Cable and Domino, and they've been released by Just Jared. And it also includes Brolin's stunt double, and it's basically just see they're strutting around, strutting around the streets. Brolin has the incredibly huge gun that Cable should always have turned up to 11. Brolin.
I love that they went all the way and made his gun.
I think you posted something on Facebook about how you're excited about Googling Cable and looking at the 80s comics and 90s comics just being like, wait, what?
And then what happened?
What is this guy? Who did what? Wait, he's from the future? Wait, like, I'm confused.
Just civilians being like, That's that's what
all the stuff with the X-Men. Like, I was so excited.
Have you tried to read his Wikipedia page? It's hilarious. Because, like, I've got all that bouncing around my head. I was like, what's that, like, streamlined? Yeah, it's not streamlined. The Wikipedia page is just like, bah, bah, bah. It's like a beautiful line chart.
His comic story is no, there's no linear to it.
There's nothing. The fact that they're going all the way, like, they have the cloak, like, his warrior cloak, the gun the size of, like, a 7-year-old. Like, there's just, it's so good.
You think Bishop will show up at some point?
I think that's going to be more X-Men based.
Yeah.
I think it's
looking forward to that, though. Hope
that would be an amazing crossover if we could make that happen.
Yeah. Oh, because he was good when they let him have time in the X-Men movie.
Yeah.
Like, that Bishop was great for his 5 minutes. I want more of that.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like Blink. Like, Blink's great for the 2 minutes
that we actually see her. It's like, it's good that we have her in The Gifted.
That we like.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things I'm most excited about The Gifted is actually getting time to stretch out with these characters that we love. But still no Bishop love yet. We need to get there.
Yeah.
Rosario in the chat says Cable needs more pouches. Like, he looks great, but he needs more pouches.
Only got 70. He needs 75, 80.
Come on, 80.
It's a bit more pouches. I mean, there's room in those boots, right?
But I'm really excited for that arm. Just seeing, like, just the how it's going to translate the final arm. Product.
Yeah, apparently Josh Brolin and his stunt person have the same tape marks on the same arm, so that's going to be an epic looking arm,
right?
Well, the previous photos were
CGI.
Well, the previous photos were rad because it looked like something you'd see today. Like, it looks like something like someone could actually have that prosthetic arm. I liked how, like, it didn't feel like a Terminator, like, where it looks like dated or future. It felt right. Like, I really liked previous photos.
It actually felt like it would come from our dystopian future.
Yes, exactly. We're rapidly approaching.
So the Deadpool animated series will actually be really different from the movies. FX CEO John Landgraf said that the Deadpool cartoon, which is being worked on by Donald Glover and his brother Steven Glover, has a very different tone than from the Deadpool movie. And it'll be really different from the movies, Landgraf said. It's animated and they're live action, but it also has a different tone. An editorial voice, as evidenced by Donald and Stephen Glover, who have their own voice and tone. We really wanted to make something that was distinctly different from the movies. So I'm guessing it's different.
I think it's a different tone. I wish we could get them on the show so we could ask them if it was going to be
called. I know.
So I actually just did a report similar to this about Donald Glover's schedule. He was filming in London for Lando Calrissian and running back and forth. He was finalizing the writing of Atlanta season 2 and working on some of the footage for it, and on set while being Lando was writing Deadpool. So Lando Calrissian on the Millennium Falcon writing Deadpool 2 is a thing.
I feel like I don't understand why he, you know, is sidelining Childish Gambino, because he's not really doing anything else.
No, he's got so much time. That's, like, he can
he's
easily
got so much time. I'm a little, now that I hear this, I'm just like, come on, dude. You're on set writing cartoons. You've got plenty of time, apparently.
If
you have time to write a cartoon while you're sitting on set, then obviously you're not doing much.
I mean, he hasn't won, like, awards for writing while acting, while doing stand-up, while working on new things before.
Yeah, it's not like he's being his childhood hero on a film.
What a crazy, I mean, come on. National hero, Donald Glover.
You got it.
Dude, but the fact that, like, so the quote, I'll probably be dropping it today or tomorrow, the quote talking about Donald Glover embodying Lando Calrissian while still having the wherewithal to be like, hold on, guys, I gotta also finish out Atlanta and Deadpool real quick. Like, that's such an insane amount of, like, brain activity.
That's awesome. The universe is awesome in that way. It's
I mean, let's be honest, if Lando Calrissian knew about Deadpool, he would write about him too.
That's true. I mean, it's just fair.
let's just be honest.
You guys seen the picture of him and the original Lando in the coffee shop down the street?
No.
They met up, like, at Lil Dom's. There's, like, pictures of, like, Donald hanging out at Lil Dom's, and, like, it's the coolest thing to just see two Landos just, like, broing out, being, like, made of charm.
Only if he's got the Colt 45. I want them to both have the Colt 45s.
I mean, you just have to. It's all about Schlitz. It's all about Mott Lickin.
Yeah.
All about that Schlitz.
If Deadpool animated series has Colt 45 and that's the reference to him being Lando while writing it, I'll be so happy with that metal layer.
That would be so good.
So happy. But yeah, I like that the cartoon's not trying to be the same thing. I'm glad the cartoon isn't trying to...
Yeah, I guess the question is, though, like, you know, because the movie has done such a good job of, in my opinion, embodying the comic books. You know, when you say things like, it's going to be so different, I get that it's, yes, obviously it's going to be different, it's an entirely different medium, but, you know, the medium you're writing for lends itself even more to the comic books, so I guess the question is, you know, are you still going to have that heart at the core of it, you know? Those kind of statements make me, it's like whenever somebody makes a remake of a song, if they completely go away from the original song, right. I'm like, mm-hmm. what's the point?
It's why didn't really you not? Yeah, song.
Exactly. Right. But if it's still got, you know, undertones of that song and it's got another song layered on top of it, then mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, that's cool. Like, I can get behind that.
So, well, they can play with the fourth wall breaking a lot more in cartoons.
Oh, absolutely.
They can, like, in a lot of continuities, he's schizophrenic and he has multiple voices. And they use different colors to represent the different voices yes. in his head. And that'd be a fun thing to play with in a cartoon, which you couldn't do it really in film.
Yeah.
You can also, like, go harder into the multiple characters. You have more time to play with these things. So it depends on what they see as different.
Like, yeah, exactly. That's the problem. Like, that's mm-hmm. what I'm like, with a statement like that, I'm like, oh, well, what do you mean mm-hmm. by different?
It's also smart of an FX CEO just to have a quote. Like, yeah. this is a smart man to be like, it's not out yet. We don't have a release date. We're going to talk about it because Deadpool, like yeah. he knows everyone's waiting. He knows that, like, we're talking about it right now. He knows yeah. that, like, he's going to get attention, and he doesn't really say anything.
No, he doesn't.
Like, different.
It's like different. Guess what? Different.
But now Google Capital Alerts difference. Is like Deadpool CEO. Like, it's different. Like, so it's smart. It's a great business move.
Yeah. I'm hoping for some cartoony like stuff, like screen wipes that involve food, like chimichangas, ribbons of chimichangas,
unicorns. Yeah.
There's so much you can do.
Yeah. It'd be fun. So Silver and Black, remember the Black Cat and Silver Sable adaptation release date has been revealed. It is going to be February 8th, 2019. Remember, this is going to be directed by Gina Price-Bythewood. You can still see some of her work on Black Girl Nerds. You can catch them out on Twitter. So a source from Splash Report, they allege further details about the film. It's going to be 7 years after Mendel Strom, and that's Robot Master, and his two henchmen, the Scorpion, which we already know from Spider-Man Homecoming, hopefully, and the Tarantula, they killed her father. So Silver Sable is hired by the government to find Felicia Hardy. So Felicia Hardy, the Black Cat, she's a master hacker and thief. She's stolen valuable secret information, and she's hiding. She's hiding. In Paraguay, Argentina, and Brazil. Those are excellent destinations, by the way. And then once there, Sable is going to ask her old contract, Dmitry Smirnikov. I think sure. I got that yeah. right. The chameleon. To locate her. But it seems the government are the only ones that are looking for Black Cat. So there's not really an appearance or mention of Peter Parker or Spider-Man. You know, there's some genetic enhancement that's going to happen, and we're expecting Dominic Fortune, Jessica Drew, that Spider-Woman, Roxanne Oil, Sergei Kravinoff.
Sergei Kravinoff.
I know. I just know him as Kraven the Hunter. I just know him as Kraven the Hunter. Yes. Lonnie life. Lincoln and Charles Standish.
So beautiful.
This actually sounds pretty great.
It's so
know?
Much.
It's a lot.
But if you it's do a lot, it but like it's basically like movie and they're all like sitting around a table and it's just the who's who, that works for me.
Yeah, but I mean, if it's kind of like an espionage spy movie, mm-hmm. you know, a little bit of diplomatic relations yeah. going on, some genetic enhancement, and then you have Kraven the Hunter in there just kind of like, I'm going to maul people.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, okay, I love the fact that we're like yeah. we're
for
talking
like an
about
hour, 45 minutes.
A movie that is
casually
a year and a half away from here.
And like, yeah,
that's
how do we
like
know more about this?
This is a lot.
How do we know
that,
right?
As soon as you said that, I was like, wait, what?
You're like describing
look at
the
that.
Plot.
Yeah, I know. I was like, yeah. you have an entire plot for a movie that's a year and a half away.
Was there like
is this completely written? Like,
well, these are alleged details. So, but these are very detailed details.
Yeah, that's a lot. But I mean. Yeah, I mean, we've gotten to the point now with these like superhero movies where we have brought a lot of characters into them, so I think it's totally doable. It's just, mm-hmm. it's interesting to bring that many characters that we haven't really seen into a movie.
I think the use of Jessica Drew is really interesting because she's the yeah. only one that feels yeah. like it's a little, because, you know, Kraven and Chameleon always have a history. They're related and they do a lot of stuff together in the comics.
For sure.
That makes sense. And Tombstone fits in the underbelly world, and Roxanne Oil, you can just like shoehorn into anything.
Yeah, anything. Mm-hmm.
So every name for me makes Dominic Fortune the same. He's mom. But Jessica Drew was always a detective and separate, and like her Spider-Woman connection was always like a joke. Like in the Avengers, Spider-Man and Spider-Woman joke about their spider connectivity.
Yeah.
She's not a part of this world per se, so I hope Sony doesn't just go like, well, we can't use Spider-Man. Is there anyone? Oh, Spider-Woman! Oh, Spider-Woman!
Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah,
we'll
yeah.
use the woman version! Like, I just don't want them to waste Jessica Drew because she's a rad character. Yeah. Like, she's smart. Like,
well, and it's interesting because, like, you know, like we were talking about, like, you know, in a movie with this many characters that, I mean, as comic book fans, yes, we know them.
Yeah.
But we've had this discussion many times when it comes to comic book movies and them trying to create them and bring the origin story over and over mm-hmm. and over again because to the layman and the regular, you know, viewer, like, you do still have to hit, you know, the rest of the world
right.
with yeah. these movies. So you do kind of have to have an origin story of some sort. So with, like, 7 or 8 characters that we've never yeah. seen before, yeah. like, bringing in a snippet of who they are quickly.
I'm just worried that's, about, like,
seems you know,
like
that is so Street do. Fighter, what you just said right? to me.
Like, where... Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter, those Ooh. Movies, it was just Ooh. Like... All of a sudden, it's you're just, like, shoehorning in facts, like, while you're talking. It's like, yes, actually, I hunt people. I am Kraven. I have killed Spider-Man myself.
Cut to.
Like, it's just like, now it's another person. It's like, oh, wow.
It's like, wait, he's killed Spider-Man?
What did I miss?
Oh, is that why he's not in this movie?
Yeah. Yeah, and, like, a lot of that works, but the Jessica Drew angle, my biggest thing is I don't want them to waste Jessica Drew, because that could be yeah. its own movie.
Yeah.
Great. The Jessica Drew comic that just ended, because comics are dying by comics. Please buy comics. I need them. Jessica Drew comic just ended is her as a mom, like, and the first arc is trying to figure out who the dad is, and then the second arc is like this Manny that's taking care of him who happens to be Porcupine, and the third arc is like them falling in love, and it's beautiful and it's heartfelt and it's about a mom, and it's like a really good book. Man. That can't happen if they waste her.
Well, and like you were talking about, like, it being like a spy movie, like, that was my favorite thing about Winter Soldier, was it wasn't mm-hmm. a superhero movie, it was a spy movie that yeah. had superheroes in it. Mm-hmm. So
if they do that
great. If I don't have to hear origin stories for all of them, and I can just kind of get an idea of who they are.
You could Bond villain this easily. You could Bond villain yeah. it where, like, suddenly a guy comes in with a lion around his neck, and we're all like, yeah, 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 yeah. And everybody else is like, that's a weird choice. That's, we're all like, shut up, Raven's here. Yeah. And, like, we don't need to have them, like, and
they don't have to explain it to us, as long as he's a bad guy, and the audience is like, oh, that guy must be bad.
But is that how you want your Kraven?
No.
That's the question. No. It's like, do we want our Kraven to be a guy that's introduced by just being, or do you want a hunt and a last hunt?
Yes.
That's what I want. So I'm just yeah. worried about them wasting my boys.
Yeah. There's just yeah. too many characters to introduce when we haven't even been introduced to Black Cat, Silver Sable yet. And those are mm-hmm. the main characters.
Yeah.
And it's bad enough that Black Cat and Silver Sable have to share a movie, let alone that. So it's like, oh, God.
Well, like I said,
this is so much as sharing it. I mean, if they take a James Bond yeah. kind of aspect to it, then, you know, you have James Bond and then you have main villain. So. Yeah. That's what you'd have. You'd have Silver Sable and you'd have Felicia Hardy. I mean, that's...
As the two main
yeah. people. Mm-hmm.
Against everyone that doesn't have their own right. movie.
Unless, like, yeah, Jessica Drew's,
and they're
like,
all scrapping yeah. trying to get their own movie.
I'm just picturing this...
You know, with
like
a year and a half, who knows what other... Like, there might be other movies that are coming out before then right. that would actually yeah. have these characters
set up, at least.
I mean, like, Scorpion. You could have Black Cat, and I mean, there could, you know, throw another Spider-Man movie at me in the next year. I'd be okay with that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you guys sitting on anything, Sony? Let me know. Marvel, what you got?
Yeah. My only concern is, if you've seen The Crow, right? You guys have both seen The Crow?
Yeah, the back in the day.
Yeah, my only concern is that these characters are in it, but they're at the long table in The Crow, and they're all just sitting there, and then Silver Sable and Black Cat come in, and they shoot everybody, and they're like, look, Tombstone was there! Look, Kraven was there! Do you know what I mean? I'm just yeah. afraid we're gonna get that treatment, and they have one Good. Fight each, and then it's like, guys, but I love those guys.
So there's gonna be some guy with, like,
but that's
a
funny.
Huge,
that's
like
somebody
like,
being,
yeah,
like,
just casually,
and he's just like, boom, boom, boom.
That's like somebody being, like, in any of the Marvel movies, an Easter egg, oh, such and such was in that movie.
Right.
Their name was in the scroller.
In Homecoming, when Matt Gargan gets thrown off the ferry, yeah. I'm like, don't do that to Matt Gargan. Like, I was so yeah. afraid that was the only bit of credit. Right? No. I was like, oh, good.
Cool.
Yes, the Scorpion lives.
Like, he's at the post-credit scene saved that for me, because I was so afraid they'd waste a Scorpion.
Yeah.
continuing on, Venom. So, Riz Ahmed, he's yeah. in talks to join the Spider-Man spinoff. So, according to Variety, he's in early talks to join the film. There are a few details that they are going to work out. So, there's no information about the actor's role that hasn't been revealed yet. But they do say that Ahmed will be playing a popular Marvel Comics character. So, Sony Pictures had no comment when it came to the casting. So,
it's interesting because Venom doesn't have a lot of popular characters that rotate around him, except Carnage, which he said he is not.
Yeah.
Dude, like, Carnage. When you think of Venom, you think of Spider-Man heroes, but only, yeah. like, separately. And then you mm-hmm. think, like, his solo books are usually symbiote-based, dealing with his own inner turmoil, other spin-off symbiotes. They're not, and none of them are iconic, really, except
yeah,
Carnage.
I mean, well, there's the, you know, him being the anti-hero. Like, mm-hmm. you could go with any of Spider-Man's villains and have Venom going after them
right.
As well.
So that opens up everyone.
That opens up everyone, yeah, right there.
It does.
I mean, eventually, yes, I would love to see Carnage, but I mean, I want to see Carnage in a rated R movie.
Right.
Like I want to see Deadpool in a rated R movie.
I think Venom's going to be rated R.
Is it?
I think so.
Yeah, I believe. I believe that's what they said.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Tom Hardy. Because
I mean, I could see you doing
Venom. I don't want him
it,
less than rated R.
Yeah.
Right. Tom Hardy, like, dancing around a PG-13 rating would be a waste of Tom Hardy's Venom. Like, that'd just be embarrassing. I mean, I could see him as, like, Vermin. I could see him as Carrion. I could see him as one of those like level of villain where you have to introduce, but like it's a waste of that actor. He's so good.
He's he's real good.
We've got other symbiotes to show up later, but you don't want you don't want those before you have Carnage. Like if you're gonna bring in another symbiote, the next one has to be Carnage.
Jay Tesla says he could be Jackal. I could see him as Jackal. He's got like the gauntness. He's thin. He speaks well. He could be articulate. He'd be a scientist.
Sure.
And people to start with Clone Saga, going right into it. Tom Holland came out and was like, I want to do the Clone Saga. And I was like, yeah, you do Tom Holland.
Oh, man. Yeah. Because he gets to play himself and Ben Reilly. Can you imagine, he gets to play two characters.
Bleach blonde Tom Holland is running around like, I'm Ben Reilly. And he's like a surfer bro. He's like, yeah, wear a sweatshirt.
Yeah, dude. That's good.
I'd see that. Here's my $14. I would love that. If they introduced like Miles Warren in the Venom movie and then we get a Clone Saga, I will lose my mind.
Yeah. I guess it just all depends on which Venom they're going to follow. I mean, I still want Agent Venom personally, but they're doing Eddie Brock, so that's...
Yeah, so, I mean, I liked Ultimate. I liked what they did with Venom in that.
Well, that's how you got the Topher Grace Venom,
though. I know, but that being said, here's the thing.
That's how we got Topher.
I think that story would have... I think they could have done it well if they hadn't had 12 other villains in that movie, and you had just done a Topher Grace, like, granted...
If they had just done Sandman, it could have been a good movie.
Yeah, or that.
Sandman character was really good.
Sandman was great.
But that's how Sam Raimi wanted Sandman, and they were like, Venom, and he's like, no, Sandman. They're like, Venom, and he's like, fine.
I'm throwing Venom. I still think Venom could have been great. Because I think the Ultimate storyline in the comic books, it's such a good story. It really is. Well, I love Eddie Brock. That's always going to be my Venom. Like,
but yeah, to me, Eddie Brock is muscle big, built.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, and he's so angry at Peter Parker for wronging him. He ruined his career and he hates everything about him and he's a God-fearing man. Like, there's just so much righteous rage in Eddie Brock. That's what I want Tom Hardy to play. I want, like, Tom Hardy's so good at being a guy that's charming beyond his own depths of evil. Like, when you look at Tom Hardy, you see a darkness, and then you see, like, but why do I want to join him on this killing spree?
And are we starting with an origin with this movie?
We don't know.
Because, like, are we going to start at the bell? It would be amazing if we just start at the bell tower.
That was
and since
the pitch
they can't
I had.
Use Spider-Man,
you open
you
the bell
just
tower,
see,
and then
like,
Spider-Man
a silhouette?
6 ends at the bell tower. That's what you do.
Yeah.
You build it up retroactively.
Yeah, that would be.
Maybe. But who is he playing? Awesome.
Stephen Ingram says Ben Reilly, maybe? Scarlet Spider? What do you guys think about that?
Well, he's a clone.
So.
True.
That wouldn't work.
Yeah.
No? Okay. No.
Sorry, Steve, I don't see it.
Yeah, just taking Peter Parker out of it, that throws me for a loop. That's basically what happens with me. That's why I can just concentrate on Flash Thompson and then doing, like, that storyline with it. But they don't have that. They have Eddie Brock. So it's like, oh, okay. All right, then. I guess I'm just going to sit back and just ride this ride.
Old school futuristic said Morbius. That'd be fun.
Oh,
Venom versus Morbius. It's a horror movie. So symbiote versus vampire.
With the little suckers on the fingers and everything.
Because he wouldn't work in the Spider-Man we have right now. He wouldn't work in a John Hughes movie.
Well,
he's too young. But he could work in a crazy depraved Venom movie. Good call, futuristic. That's a weird idea.
Bring on the vampires.
Why not?
So Ant-Man and the Wasp, Evangeline Lilly, Michael Douglas, and Paul Rudd have been spotted on set by Just Jared shooting a scene for Ant-Man and the Wasp, and it's basically them hanging out. We have civilian clothes going on with each of them. So, I mean, but also the set photos reveal an Easter egg straight from the comics. It's a new photo, and the filming location isn't in Atlanta. And it has it gives us a clue as to what Scott Lang, who's played by Paul Rudd, has been up to. And the photo shows Lang's van repainted with the logo for something called X-Con Security Consultants. And that would appear to be a reference to Nick Spencer's 2015-2016 run on Ant-Man and the Astonishing Ant-Man, in which Scott tried to leave the superhero life behind and start a security firm. And this is actually what we keep on talking about with Ant-Man and the Wasp, that we think that that's, you know, that that's obviously what they're going to do. And it looks like this is confirmation of that.
I think that's the right thing to do. That's one of the more popular storylines. I used to have a problem with it being so, like, they only pull from the newest things, but, like, there's just so much continuity to pull from the old stuff. So this totally works for me. It's a fun run.
Yeah, and I like the fact that, like, you know, with these Marvel movies, it's like you can only make so many action-packed movie about this and that. It's like, coming from something like this is like, oh, cool, this is a storyline that kind of branches off, and it's not one of these big everybody's fighting everything type things, at least to start with. I'm sure he's going to have to deal with some stuff, but I love the fact that, like, the first one was a heist movie, and it was just, again, was we so talked about, like, a, you know, a spy movie with superheroes. It was a heist movie with superheroes. Like, that's what I want. At this point, if you're going to throw a superhero movie at me, just throw me a good movie, and then just layer superhero on top of it. Like, just paint it with
superheroes.
Yeah, this
is a Paul Rudd movie, and this is going to be another Paul Rudd movie. Yeah, this looks like great. A frame from a Paul Rudd movie.
Yes. Yeah,
like, this could be an Apatow
dude,
still.
You know this is gonna be, there's a joke already right here with, like, that guy walking up to the van being like, you can't park here, sir, and him being like, oh, I was just waiting for a pizza. Like, I mean,
yeah, but he's actually sleeping
by the way,
in the back
if you
of the van.
Take that line, I do get credit for
that's
that.
True. That's just
this just looks like he's sleeping in the back of this van. You know, he's kind of had a tough time going with it, and he's really good at underdog anyway, so I kind of like it to have these, like, small origins, and then the film itself is going to get even smaller.
I want so much Evangeline Lilly, like, and her, like, working out photos mm-hmm. where she looks ready to superhero
yeah she
up.
Looks jacked
right
I love it
so excited yeah
and their and relationship too that's such a good relationship
I'm excited to see it. I feel like we kept, like, dancing around at the first movie. I really like Ant-Man, but every time they cut away from, like, the moment, like, it was a movie of, like, it's gonna be and I wanna actually be there. Like, I'm ready for the sequel because I think it's gonna be what I wanted the first one to be, like, fully formed.
Yeah.
All right, nice. Continuing with movies, so Thor, we have a new photo where Valkyrie fights Loki, and it's a new Ragnarok photo. Valkyrie's played by Tessa Thompson, and here she is with Tom Hiddleston, Loki. And I love this. It's them in the middle of a knife fight. And you have a knife fight between Valkyrie and Loki. I say Valkyrie.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Well, I say Valkyrie.
I mean, I feel like Loki is only going to be, like, joking around. At
he's
no
just
point
playing.
Is this, yeah, at no point
yeah,
is he
playing.
Actually on the line.
No.
He's the god of mischief. He's barely there.
Yeah.
And
but
I love
Valkyrie in a fist fight, 100%.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. She takes down everything. This is an Entertainment Weekly photo featuring the two of them. And Tessa Thompson goes on to dish about her relationship with Loki. That fight was so much fun. So much fun. First of all, the choreography was really punchy and physical. Not as much sword work, which sort of keeps you at arm's length with people. I think because Tom's character is involved, there's a cheekiness to that fight that made it just really fun. It just felt like a tennis match. I don't know if it remains, but there are a lot of one-liners between us, so it has a real sort of sense of humor. Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah, so she also figures out that Loki's not to be trusted. Always a good fact to figure out. But that there are two folks that kind of come from the same place at the same time. So they have the same chip on their shoulder in that way. It's interesting.
I didn't realize Loki wasn't to be trusted. That was that's news
that's
to me.
That is,
yeah, we
know,
we just broke that here at Marvel Movie News. Loki is not to be trusted.
Yeah. Tessa Thompson confirms Loki is not to be trusted.
This movie
trusted.
Makes me so excited.
It's funny because this movie is already the one I want to own the most on DVD because I feel like there's going to be so many special features of just like 80% improv means there's like eight movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
And the commentary is going to be great because we're going to hear stories about the eight different movies we don't get to see. Like, there's going to be some deleted scenes.
He's my friend from work.
Like,
I'm
do you know the story behind that?
Yeah, about the kid? Yeah, that's amazing.
You know that?
Was it what?
He's a friend from work. They had a Make-A-Wish Foundation Day, and one of the kids that came to visit wrote that line. That
wrote
line
that
was
line
written by a kid
and asked
visiting
him to say
set.
It. And he did. And it's
the most
iconic line so far from the trailer.
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing.
And it's from a kid that, like, was visiting his hero.
Oh.
Like, that's what these movies are for. It's to make
that's
people realize
fantastic.
Their heroes are real, and our heroes then life imitating art, imitating life, imitating Make-A-Wish with Thor. Yes.
Yeah.
So
yes.
excited.
And we know we all popped for that line, so.
Oh, man. That first time that came up in the trailer, like.
Dude, yeah. I was like, I fell out of my seat.
Yeah.
I was like, this is so good. This is everything about this.
It's the weirdest movie I never thought I'd see.
I know, right? Like, it's so funny, because, like, whenever we talked about Thor Ragnarok, like, what, 6 months, a year ago, it was like, this might be an interesting movie.
Weird.
We'll see. We don't know. We don't know what's going to happen.
And then it started
and Guardians
details.
Came out, and we're like, oh, sweet, Guardians, da-da-da. And then we get some more details, and then all of a sudden that trailer comes out, and you're like,
what? Well, it's funny because every detail made it more confusing.
Yeah.
Remember when they were like, it's the Hulk and Thor. You're like, what? And then it was like, it's a road trip. Cosmic road trip. Jeff Goldblum.
Remember when the Darren thing, Daryl thing came out? And then we were like, wait, what is this? This is fun, but this isn't like the movie.
And we were all like, how is this somehow everything I expected and nothing I expected?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's, it was so somehow the, all the pieces, but in a way that I never would have, like, shaken and stirred together.
Yeah, it's just viewing it in a completely different way, and I'm just all about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm curious how that affects Thor, the character, going into Avengers 4. Because he is a very... the straight man in comedy in a lot of ways, and
he gets his liners constantly. Yeah.
But I'm wondering if they up that at, like, clearly this is influenced by Guardians.
Yes.
I'm wondering if Thor is going to carry over Avengers.
Yeah,
do you see what I mean?
Yeah,
like, yeah, because he wasn't there. So if he's
Watched any of the like the weird YouTube videos that he's got where he's like when he talks about like the fact that like the Avengers have come together and he's like, did you not need me?
Yeah, how is that going to play in Avengers 3 when they're back together? Mm-hmm. That's my curiosity.
Yeah, I really hope it's a character choice that carries over, because it's a fun character choice, and I think it's a fun character.
It's no way to make those movies sellable.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Thor Ragnarok also has a new colorful international poster. So it's it goes along with exactly what the feel is for this movie.
That's gorgeous.
Brilliant and big, a lot of color. I mean, you have Hela just dominating the upper top of the poster, and she's got murder death kill all over her.
Oh yeah,
that's what she looks like. And of course, you have Chris Hemsworth, Thor, and it's got right
that
there.
Awesome in the 80s vibe. Like, yeah, that.
And interestingly enough, right hand person is Valkyrie, awesome. But then left hand, right there, is Loki. And then of course Hulk behind him, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, it can't be November soon enough. Actually, it can. The year's flying by, but I'm excited for November.
Yes,
yeah.
It's right around the corner.
Because we have mere days until Defenders.
Mm-hmm.
That's so soon.
We're going to be talking all about Defenders near the end. Yeah.
Yeah, I cleared as much of the weekend as I could, because that's 8 hours of my life I need to be dedicated.
Yeah.
So, Avengers Infinity War. So, Nebula will have a new BFF in Avengers Infinity War. Karen Gillian, she recently revealed to Fandango that her character is going to form a bond with the surprising MCU character in Infinity War. And she says, "I know who our new BFF is, and I can't tell you. I can't. I promise you, it's brilliant and unexpected and just so good." But, you know, picture that with a Scottish accent.
Deadpool.
Yeah, so... But that does say that...
I don't know what I would do if he showed up. At this point, I'd be like, nope. I mean, as much as I love him, I'd be like, nope. Because that just... It's like when you're doing an improv scene and somebody's like, "Oh, you're crazy," and then all of a sudden it's like, "Sweet, so I can literally do anything."
Yeah,
awesome, ruins all cool. Stakes all stakes are gone because now I can do whatever the heck I want.
That's him.
He's the Deus Ex Machina. So it's like exactly. So no, I don't want him in this movie.
Let's go.
Jeez,
he's just my response. Fine, yeah. Ben Foster.
Ben Foster. If you're saying that, then I say it's Angela Bassett.
As Storm.
There we go.
Ben Foster, but Angela Bassett is Storm.
Be like, "Don't you look like Ramon?" No, I don't. So, but Nebula's past will also be explored even more in Avengers Infinity War. She went on to tell Florida SuperCon about Nebula's origin in Infinity War. Without giving away any spoilers, we're definitely going to continue the arc for Nebula and find out more about her past. And actually, we're going to find out that it's even worse than we know. So, as if it wasn't
as if it wasn't bad enough having Thanos as your dad.
And, like, being ripped apart and rebuilt constantly as a challenge.
Oh. Yeah.
Like, that was such great storytelling.
Dude, it really was.
People give Guardians such a bad rap, but I really, really love that movie.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why they hate it. I thought it was great.
You mean Guardians 2?
Yeah. I mean, Guardians 1 everybody loves. Like, it's like saying Guardians. You don't like Empire. Yep. You just get ostracized. But, like, Guardians 2, I think, was great. And, like, the writing was so clever.
Oh, it was fantastic.
I had a lot of all the feels with it. I saw it at the El Capitan,
and it was so much fun.
I did. It was my first Marvel movie I've cried in. Like, I've cried happiness. I've cried, like, when Spider-Man showed up in Civil War, I cried happy. Oh. But I, like, wept with the dad stuff.
Man, Logan got me.
Yeah.
Yeah, dad stuff gets to me pretty.
Yeah, it was,
yeah, Logan got to me,
but
too.
I mean,
I cry at everything, guys. Yeah. You throw me into a Disney movie or a Pixar film, and I guarantee you I'm crying. Like, I don't, whatever. I'm like, Dory can't find her way home.
It's the opening credits to Dory, and Justin's like, I gotta leave.
I'm good. Dude, yeah.
Man, it's Squirrel Girl. She pops in. She's like, I handled Galactus. I can handle Thanos.
That's how they write off Galactus. That's how we get the Fox Universe. Fantastic Phase
that's
4.
That's how you do.
Squirrel Girl
that's
brings in Galactus. Fantastic Four follows.
Well, Squirrel Girl is everything.
Matt Key confirms Squirrel Girl, Fantastic Four.
So,
wait, is Matt Key on the... It's talking right now?
Yeah, you know what?
Matt Key confirms.
Yeah. Yeah, in fact, we're going to say he's going to be confirming a lot of things because I forgot about that. So, but yes, unfortunately, Samuel L. Jackson will not be in Avengers 3, 4, or Black Panther. It's been confirmed. So he said it. He's not happy about it. He has said to Marvel.
It's a very sassy quote.
It was a very sassy quote.
What is the quote?
I actually don't have a quote down right here.
I'll pull it up.
Actually, yeah, please. Please read it off for us. But yeah, Samuel L. Jackson, he will be co-starring with Brie Larson in the 1990 set Captain Marvel. So, and we know that Captain Marvel will show us Nick Fury before forming the Avengers. And actually, and you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, I believe the last time that we did see Nick Fury was in Age of Ultron, because he was in hiding during Winter Soldier. I mean, chat room can feel free to correct me on that if that is. But, you know, he helped set off the MCU, like showing an Iron Man, and... Now I'm just kind of wondering about the future of the character. Did you find the quote?
I found an old quote, but it's just as funny.
Okay,
this
go ahead.
February. Quote, I asked them, so you're doing Black Panther and the only black character in the Marvel Universe is not showing up, Jackson said. And they're like, Nick Fury's not in Wakanda. How can you know the other black superheroes on the planet? How the hell does that work? And they just said, no, you're not in that one. Angry Samuel Jackson. This was way back in Skull Island days where he was like, guys, come on.
He's like, hey.
I mean, he does make a pretty good point there.
Yeah, that's like, just so funny that was way back.
Guys, come on.
He's like, hey.
I'm your guy.
It's like, I've been your guy all this time, and then at the end game, I'm just not there anymore.
Yeah, you're just not going to put me in the movie that isn't an all African-American cast. Like, come on. Yeah, it's...
Oh, okay, here I have it.
You got
it.
The new quote?
Yeah. I wasn't in the superhero argument movie, which he said Captain America Civil War. I'm not in Avengers 3 and 4, he complained. They're shooting them now and they haven't called me yet. They wouldn't let me go to Black Pantherville, so it's kind of like, how are you going to make a Black Marvel movie and not let Nick Fury show up in it?
I thought I'd go up from February that he literally has just been upset about this from February to August.
Black Pantherville. I want to go hang out at Black Pantherville on the weekend.
I know I do.
That's got to be my favorite place to hang out now.
Margaritaville, Black Pantherville, all places to visit.
Like, there you go. Everybody wants some of that.
And I mean, not only that, but like just Nick Fury as a whole, like since he was the guy that was technically, especially at the beginning of the movies, tying everyone together.
Yeah.
It's been kind of interesting that he hasn't been around.
Hasn't been around.
Like, I get it. He helped connect everybody. Now you're just going to be like, nah, it's good. He did his job. Yeah, right. I know. Contracts. Actors,
so many
money. I know.
A lot of money. I also love how they're advertising Hitman's Bodyguard as literally Deadpool and Nick Fury.
Yeah.
I saw it, and it is.
I hear it's amazing.
It's so funny.
Is it?
All the trailers?
Ridiculously funny. The two of them together, I could not get enough of it.
Dude, could you have ever dreamed a world where a movie, Samuel Jackson and Ryan Reynolds makes sense? Like,
yes.
They both do a lot of movies together.
Yeah,
and like when the Denzel movie with Ryan Reynolds came out, I was like, man, Samuel L. Jackson should do a movie together.
Wait, what?
The one with the safe house. That was amazing.
I missed that one.
So good.
Okay.
So, like,
it's on the short list.
Espionage thrillers with Ryan Reynolds, common, and then you need to mix it up who he's with. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense, but I never thought it would be like, hey, Deadpool and Nick Fury is the pop culture selling point.
Mm-hmm.
That means that's the assumption that people like, that all over the world recognize them as those characters and know those characters. That's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
It's like Samuel L. Jackson's character is a hitman. And he's kind of Deadpool-esque because he's so snarky.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful. It really is.
Yeah.
That Ryan Reynolds has to like kind of play against it, but then he's also snarky. So there's a lot of snark. And then the director, and his name escapes me right now, but I absolutely love, like, there will be all this action that happens and then a cutaway to a guy cooking a hamburger. And then he, you know, it's in a restaurant. Oh, and he puts the burger on the plate and takes it out into the restaurant. Here comes Ryan Reynolds come through the door.
Good.
Like pressure release and then more action.
Good.
And plus,
90s
you can tell he loves
comedy.
Amsterdam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was 90s action comedies. Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, it's the Ferris Bueller type thing when he's running at the end and he passes the two girls in the beginning. It's like, stop and comes back. Hey, how's it going?
Well, that was what I loved in Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah.
That's a great movie!
Yeah.
And that was a joke about that
movie.
In that movie.
Yeah.
Like, there's just
so many layers.
Art.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Avengers 4 has started filming. So yeah, we have a picture of that. The Russo brothers took to Facebook and they shared an image, just one image, of a purple glove with four fingers up, and it's captioned, "Beginning the End." And that summarizes the description of the fourth Avengers film.
I mean, I think it's going to change. Everything changed after Avengers 4. I don't care what anybody says. Everything. Feige's like, it's not a reboot. I'm like, guy. 10 movies leading up to this. 10 years of movies leading up to this. There's no way it's just going to be like moving on. Like, this ends things.
It's just.
It's, you know, it's going to be interesting with, you know, the hype and the rise of all these movies. It's like, you know, we're so used to, especially when it comes to superhero movies. I mean, for growing up, we're so used to a new guy every two or three movies.
Right.
So
yeah. 10 years.
Like, to have some of these actors that have been playing these like, this goes back to, like, you know, the days whenever, like, a studio owned an actor.
Right.
Like, yeah. it feels very much like that.
Chris Evans right now and Downey Jr. are very much like the guys.
Owned. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it'll be interesting whenever they get tired of wanting, like, as an actor even, just be like, I'm
played
tired.
This guy.
I've played this guy for a long time.
I bought so many islands.
And it's like, you know, is it like with soaps where they just bring in somebody? It's like only one person has changed and nobody talks about it. Like, that's all they're like watching
Jeremy
a soap
Renner,
opera.
Jeremy Renner just surrounded by just, entirely new cast. Just like,
but he pretends like they're all his friends that he's been dealing with
Skrulls,
the whole time.
All the SCP Skrulls.
Oh, man. Everybody dies and they're all Skrulls, but they didn't realize the other person was a Skrull.
Except Hawkeye
so they
and
had
his
to,
family at the farm.
Except for Hawkeye, very because important. He survives. Hawkeye survives. How's the chat room taking everything, Alan?
Matt Key confirms female Thor in Avengers 4, according to Jay Tesla.
Matt Key confirms.
They're wondering, whose glove is that? It's Hawkeye's. It's a Skrull. I don't know.
Ooh, I hadn't thought of the Skrull. It is purple and a glove. That would make sense for a Skrull.
Skrulls are coming out.
I hadn't thought of that.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice grab, dude.
I see. I don't think Thanos related because that's obviously not a
wrong,
gauntlet.
Yeah,
no,
wrong glove.
And he'd be all gauntleted up.
Yeah. So, Ghost Rider, just for Doom's sake. Agents
like
of
that.
Shields coming in. It's Ghost Rider's glove. Quite confirms.
There you go. So let's move on to TV, since we are going to be ending with Marvel's Netflix television. So real quick, I actually didn't put this in there, but I'm just remembering it now. When we talked about last week where Disney is going to be pulling their content from Netflix, that's going to start in 2018, but the Marvel TV shows at this point are going to be staying. Well, there is news, and I just thought, fun fact. So Netflix is getting Shonda Rhimes from ABC.
Saw that, yeah.
Yeah. So I was thinking, how about they have She-Hulk and then have Shonda Rhimes do it?
In?
Oh, my God.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Yeah.
I mean, look at what she did with Scandal. Like, she would rock some She-Hulk, for instance.
And that brings a huge audience in. Like, the fact that, like, when they were like, Shonda Rhimes leaves ABC. Like, you never see an actor leaving a network be like, broadcast news.
Yeah.
Like, but Shonda Rhimes is, like,
it's
Shonda
like,
Rhimes.
It's Shondaland.
Yeah.
Shondaland's going to Netflix.
That's big.
Yeah. Oh, wait, was that? Oh, Matt Key confirms that Shonda Rhimes is doing She-Hulk.
If she doesn't do She-Hulk, can she do Daughters of the Dragon at least?
Yes. I'm trying to think of her action sequences, though, right now, before I say yes, the characters would totally be there. Can someone think of like some action sequences that they on a Shonda Rhimes show? I mean, there's Grey's Anatomy, perfect characterizations, great nuance with layers.
Action is not what I jump to whenever I think of her,
like,
which is why like She-Hulk would be great.
Yeah,
like,
She-Hulk.
You got the lawyer stuff, and that's like the main.
And then the fourth wall breaking, which I think she'd be able to handle really well. I don't know. I'm going to reserve judgment on that one. If she brings somebody on board that's like really great with action, and then the two of them together are doing that.
Lexi Alexander.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Lexi
can do some action. Oh, Punisher Warzone for the win.
I would love I know this would never happen. My dream is Aaron Sorkin scripted, Lexi Alexander directed, starring personally Emily Blunt, because I'm still in the Blunt train, She-Hulk. That show would change the game. Can you imagine? Because she's got the physicality, she's got the acting chops, the writing of Sorkin's like pop, pop, pop plus lawyer. You got Lexi Alexander directing the action. Boom. Here's some money.
I'd watch it.
I'd watch it. I also watch Shonda Rhimes She-Hulk that I never thought of until just now.
Yeah, I would probably watch almost any She-Hulk.
That's true.
Yes,
honestly,
right?
Let's be
She-Hulk.
I mean,
as long as
Marvel Television, you know, and Netflix bounce back from the one show that we're
about to dive into.
About to dive into.
So,
then yes, they will always have my money.
Yeah, so. There's only one showrunner I can think of off the top of my head that I would want to do She-Hulk. So for a TV, for Inhumans, Marvel's Inhumans, they're revealing details about an original character. It's played by Louise Ellen Woglum. While at SDCC, Woglum spoke more about her character's role in the show. And it's basically that she's the eyes and ears for the audience. So she's going to be our outlet into the world that is Inhumans. The audience will learn about the world, and they'll be discovering it simultaneously with everyone else. And then showrunner Scott Buck also revealed that Louise will serve as a unique kind of human character because she'll have the knowledge of the otherworldly events of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So she'll be aware of everything that's happened in the world. All of the characters are aware of what's happened in the Marvel Universe, and she's aware that there are people out there who possess superpowers, so she'll be a little bit more ready to be among them, Buck explained.
So she's a watcher?
Well, you know, the show's not
She's
really,
a Watu without the Watu.
It's not that grounded. So we need that look into it, because otherwise we wouldn't understand how everyone was just
like,
normal.
I don't know. That trailer just made me so upset.
Like, you've missed weeks of us being upset.
I'm sure. I'm sure.
And I mean, so upset with us for being upset.
I know that you guys, I know our tastes are very similar. So I'm not, you know, whenever I say things like this, it's not a shock to you.
Surprise! But, didn't like that hair.
Yeah, it's just, you know, and I thought they were doing, like, I got off the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. train. I was trying to watch that for a while, and I watched a couple seasons, and then I think I lost Hulu. And so once I lost it, I was like, oh, crap, I'm behind.
It's not your fault.
But I liked kind of where they were going with this idea. Like, that storyline was interesting to me, and I was looking forward to a movie.
That's different, yeah.
But yeah, it just doesn't look like they put a lot of time into it.
Yeah, well, that will be coming out of September 1st in IMAX. All right. So, yeah, we'll have that to look forward to.
Yeah.
So The Gifted, though, The Gifted casts Elena Satine as Dreamer. So I have that Elena Satine, you know her from Twin Peaks and Revenge, and she's been cast as Dreamer, and that's a mutant with the power to add or take away people's memories. So that's actually pretty fierce to have that, especially in, I know, and that's in The Gifted, the same Gifted that gives us Blink, the same one that we have these new Sentinels that you know, are as big as giant electronic spiders. Dude, I keep on thinking of Minority Report whenever I see
this
that.
This sounds great. Where is this being? Because that's the first I've heard about it.
Right. Oh, well, you haven't heard of the Fox show?
No.
They're doing a full-on X-Men show, dude.
Yeah,
dude.
They have a couple of trailers now.
I was at first not sold, because they are not using many of the core X-Men. They're using, like, new characters with a mix.
But I'm kind of okay with that.
The other characters are Blink and who is the tracker?
I know.
I always call
Thunderbird?
Warpath.
Thunderbird.
Is it Warpath or Thunderbird?
I thought it was Thunderbird, and ended up being Warpath. It's one of those two.
Okay. I'm going to double check
please
on that.
Okay. Please do.
So they're using, like, lesser-known X-Men teamed up with new X-Men characters. And at first, I was very off it. But the newest trailer sold me. The newest trailer is so rad.
All right.
And then, like, this news is awesome. And Matt Nix is an incredible showrunner. So I'm fully on for The Gifted.
Yeah. And he did reveal that the character will enter the fold in the show's second episode. So in the second episode, that will be her live-action debut of Dreamer. And according to Nix, Dreamer brings a unique set of powers into the fold of the Gifted. One of the things about her character, Nix explained, is that it's a really sexy power that isn't a gigantic power. We aren't blowing up a building with her. It doesn't involve a 6-week CG build. Great.
He is Thunderbird.
Thunderbird. Thank you.
John Proudstar.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, yeah, we have a couple of new pilot photos that have been released. One of them includes Thunderbird. But, you know, we have Blink. And also Polaris.
Oh, yeah, Polaris.
Isn't she great? It looks great. We have Eclipse. And then the family. This is a family, the Struckers, that are actually going to be... It's a family of characters that they made for The Gifted.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, where it's basically the dad of the family. I think his name's not William Strucker, is it? Because I'm just thinking Stryker now.
Yeah.
The dad of the family is in an authority position, and he's anti-mutant. Anti-mutant. Turns out his kids are mutants. So then it's like, oh wait, let's rethink this mutant issue. And then they're on the run, and that's the Struckers. Gotcha. So, and then we also have a picture of Thunderbird there too. So, but it's revealed that he revealed during the Fox presentation at the TCA Summer Press Tour that his comic inspiration behind the series, he looked into a lot of the more obscure runs that didn't deal with the central superhero mythology. He loves District X, District 10.
Have you read District X?
Was it what?
It, yeah,
I have not.
So good. It's like a, it's like End of Watch with Bishop.
Really?
It's like a super gritty cop drama with Bishop as the lead. It's a great book.
Okay, I'm going to have to add that one.
Check it out.
All right, District X, which is just about a district in New York. It's where the mutants are. You're following around Bishop, who's a cop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine if, like, an area like Hell's Kitchen, like a certain area of New York, and you're responsible for that jurisdiction, and it's super mutant heavy.
Oh,
so it's that,
sweet.
But like, and it was actually around the same time as District 9. It might have been just before it, so it's a really cool flavor.
Yeah, well, God knows, nice. I love District 9. Mm-hmm. But the show is not a procedural at all. It was seeing mutants in society, dealing with crime, drugs, or relationships with each other. We didn't take any characters from it. It is one of my favorites. So, you know, always good to know that showrunners are all about reading comics and loving the comics and utilizing the characters, or at least the element of the characters.
Yeah, and I think it's, and honestly, I think it's a good move whenever you've had, you know, you've had some of the problems you've had with trying to do the franchises. Whenever you bring in these, you know, lesser known characters, you can kind of play with them a little more because people are less attached to them. So it's not as likely to offend as many people whenever you're like, oh, let's just, let's tweak this a little bit.
I do see the merits of both sides now that I've seen what direction they're taking, and I'm now excited.
Cool.
So with Punisher, so John Bernthal, I am always going to pronounce his name wrong.
The Bernthal Bears.
Bernthal Bears. The Bernthalstein Bears.
I miss the Bernstein other timeline now.
Yeah. Oh. Speaking with E.T., John Bernthal responded to Iron Fist's reception possibly hindering the Punisher. "For me, with all due respect, it's not about reviewers," Bernthal said. "I promise them I do my best to try to get this right, and I hope we did. One thing I can say is, we fought hard."
That's a really good impression. You should totally go as that for Halloween this year.
Yeah.
I love that John Bernthal, like, in quotes, sounds like he's at war. I love that the man is like, I dealt with it, I did it, I don't know if they're going to like it, but it's done.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you're talking about the Punisher, how else can
you
sound?
That's the only way to go. It's
I mean, I don't think, honestly, I don't think anybody is seriously going to judge these other shows based on.
Yeah, it's not.
I don't think this.
I think especially this. After we saw what happened in Daredevil, you know, it's like, it's fine. I'm not worried about it. I think it's going to be great.
Punisher all.
Yeah, I think it's going to be awesome. So I don't know where. I don't even know who is feeding him information that makes him think that.
The last
hey guys,
show,
nobody liked that show. It's like, dude, relax. Nobody in their right mind goes
you.
Iron Fist, Punisher. No.
And if anything, Defenders is going to be a huge palate cleanser for everything. So it's going to be fine. So Ben Barnes, he plays Billy Russo, also known as Jigsaw, in the upcoming series. He spoke to The Man magazine. "I was really pleased at the grounded, tough approach to the material. Our show is about men suffering tragedy and trauma. It's about a very real topic set in a world of superheroes. But no character in our show has superpowers, and that makes it feel unique in this universe."
It's the first time I've heard this in superpowers. I mean, I assumed, but it's the first confirmation of it. That's cool. That they're keeping it all
on
the
superpowers.
Level. Yeah, which means no Bullseye.
There you go.
My theory is that they might introduce Bullseye so we could tie into Daredevil Season 3.
Oh.
That's what I was thinking.
I like that theory.
It'd be cool to have
that's
like
actually
a little,
pretty sweet theory.
Like, have Bullseye just be involved, mention him, have like a little, and then Daredevil have already just ready to dive in that way. That's what I wanted.
Oh, I like that. So with Jessica Jones, and this is why I'm wearing this shirt today. It's my Doctor Who, the 10th Doctor. So David Tennant's back for Jessica Jones Season 2. He was spotted on set of Season 2.
Good.
Entertainment Weekly released a photo featuring both Kilgrave and Jessica Jones. So
demon on her shoulder, I'm telling you.
Oh my goodness. Well, this isn't a spoiler at this point, right?
6 months ago.
Spoiler was 6 months ago. Yeah, so let's say that he doesn't.
His health is in decline.
His health is in severe decline. with Jessica Jones. So there wasn't any reason to see this particular character again, but now we are.
And it's not like he's just visiting. Again. That man is wearing purple.
No, he's wearing purple. Yeah. The hair is coiffed.
Mm-hmm. I think he's every time he's
purple. That man can do no wrong.
I think when she has a PTSD flashback, he pops up. That's my theory. So whenever she's going through trauma, he's the voice in her head that she can't hang.
Yeah, because remember back when she would like repeat the street names of her childhood home to herself?
Yeah.
What if he's even poisoned that memory for her?
Because flashback is easier,
and
but
then
I think
his face comes up.
Yeah.
Ooh. So in any case, we get David Tennant back.
I love David Tennant.
Which actually brings us to the Defenders. So we have the final Defenders trailer for you. You've probably already seen it, but if not, you're going to watch it with us, and we're going to talk over it so that we can watch it along with you. So Aunt Manthony, can you roll that trailer for us?
Green suit, yes.
Are you still hungry? Takes a lot of energy to summon my chi.
And okay, he's kind of funny there.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah. And opening defenders with him is bold. I respect it.
Yes.
I love the green suit he's in. This hallway.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, they know how much we love hallway fight scenes.
We love hallway. They started with the Daredevil, and don't you ever change.
The action looks good. I love the coloring in this room. Yeah. The blues.
I love that Stick just, he popped the lock on the door and showed up.
Sigourney Weaver as Mephisto Azul.
Yes. There can only be Azul.
I love that weird shimmy outfit she's got on.
Yeah.
Are you the gatekeeper?
But the lighting here, like, it's just so unique.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go do something crazy.
And I love that it looks like they were obviously just all having the food, chilling out. Stick comes in, and then the hand just pop up.
Yeah.
And then this interplay.
Is, yeah.
Yes. For hire all the way.
Power like, Man and Iron Fist.
That was cool.
Yes.
I think this is going to be a palate cleanser. I think everybody's going to be very happy.
I promise you it's temporary.
Not if I can help it.
Oh
yeah.
That
dude,
the sword.
I think they're focusing on Iron Fist in this trailer to be like, guys, we know we're sorry. We're so sorry.
We understand.
There were six action shots.
Yeah,
there were six action shots of him, and there was like two of each of everybody else.
Yeah, and they were good action
and
shots.
Every one of his was extra cool to be like, we let him fight. We learned. We taught him to fight, and please, we're sorry.
Be like, hey, he's gonna fight, and he's funny.
Season two is gonna be just fine.
And Luke Cage really likes him.
Yeah.
Dude, like here's the thing. Like, once like Luke Cage vouches for you, then we all
then
go.
It's like,
all right, sorry. That's my bad.
I love the bromance between the two of them.
Dude,
that's what kept you coming
so
back
good.
With the comics.
Yeah,
it's like you had the two of them, and then you had you understood why Misty
Knight
was in love
with him while he's getting shot. Like, it's like, oh, bullets hurt. I'm just gonna stay back here for a minute. Are you done? Here, let me touch a sword.
Okay, I got this. Like, that's what I mean. It's like they did that trailer well. That was a good trailer.
Yeah.
I am looking forward to this, and this weekend will be fun, and I hope it...
I can't believe it snuck up on us, man. It's this weekend.
I know, it's right
here. I usually have a couple weeks out where I'm like, okay, and now all of a sudden it's like, oh God, it's now.
It's here. Like, it's this Friday. That's happening.
And next week's me and Matt's last show before Burning Man, so we have to watch it all.
Ooh.
Because we're going to be gone for 2 weeks.
Yeah, and then next week I'm going to have y'all do a birthday shout-out for me because my birthday's on the 27th. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm expecting fireworks.
And
maybe a little dance
it's a
number.
Sexy birthday shout-out,
Sexy musical birthday shout-out is what's going to happen.
A lot of stakes here, guys. A lot of stakes. Matt and I won't be here. Not next week, but the following for 2 weeks, just so you guys.
Yeah, because I'll be doing Burning Man stuff, but it will be me and a lot of very fun guests that we have lined up, and we will tell you more about those guests as the week continues. But yes, for Defenders, so speaking with Playboy, showrunner Marco Ramirez shared details on bringing each Defender together in a cohesive unit with an important outcome. There were charts, said Ramirez. I mean, I was just popping pills, Claire Dane style, looking at the walls going, this doesn't make sense. It was seriously color-coded, like, this is where Luke ended. This is where Claire was. It was crazy town. I think, ultimately, the goal is that in many years, if you want to sit down and watch the whole thing, chronologically, you can. None of us wanted to do the procedural version where they'll go back into their own shows completely unchanged, said Ramirez. The events of Defenders will affect each of them. That's... That's my Ramirez.
You have so many voices in your head.
I do.
Totally normal. Totally normal amount of voices in your head.
It's very,
totally
very, very
normal amount of voices.
I think if you're going to do a show where you have all four, you have to do some things that are going to affect the shows that come afterwards. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I, yeah, I think I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be good times.
Yeah, I like it in the sense that it's everybody is playing with these toys and then has these storyline for these toys and then hand them off to other people. But it's like, hey, the toy's been changed, but for the better.
Yeah. I also love the fact that, like, I feel like, and I don't know, like how the Marvel movies were the first time that movies had all these big names coming together and sharing screen time. Like, I don't know of a show that's been like this, where it's like we have our own individual actors who have their own shows and they're all coming together to form a show.
I think it's fairly, like, it's, Oceans had done it and a few things had done it, but, like, this level is unheard of.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we do have Daughters of the Dragon. They meet in Marvel's The Defenders, so we have a clip, so we're going to play that clip real quick.
I'm told my uniforms confiscated something unusual from you. It's a katana. It was passed down to me. Weird. I can defend myself. Mm.
You came in here pretty bloody. Are you sure about that?
Yeah, I am.
Yes! Yes!
It's your girls.
I love that. Nice. I just you came in with something pretty weird. No. It's my family sword. No, that's weird. That's weird.
Yeah.
No one walks around with that.
Nobody's walking around with swords. Sorry. That's weird.
It's like, and you were beat up. Do you want to talk about this? Do we need to have a conversation? I love that little interaction. So that was great. So, and then one more clip. Foggy gets Luke Cage out of jail in this new Defenders clip. So go ahead and play it.
One last thing. The law firm of Hogarth, Chow, and Benowitz is at your disposal.
Yes, they are.
In case you need help starting over.
Oh, yeah. He's
there you go.
There
you
go. Friday.
Be there.
August 18th. So that brings us into our Defenders discussion, you know, like a quick little breakdown. On Wednesday, Screen Junkies will release this epic level breakdown that Coy and I did.
How they're going to edit that.
With Hal Rudnick. I don't know. It was 2 hours of just us deep talking.
Defenders knowledge.
Deep. Yeah, it was where we broke down each one of the Defenders, including, well, actually, Coy did season one and season two of Daredevil, mm-hmm. so that wasn't just one lump thing. And then along that with characters, must-watch eps, who knows? I think at least a solid half hour that they would probably with that. But we're going to break that down for you even smaller here for our show. So just like a quick feeling of each series, non-spoilery, just the feeling of what the series is, kind of where they leave off, not too specific though, but we will give you at least one episode recommendation for each one of the shows. So if you can't watch anything else, then watch this one ep. Yes, watch these five. So it goes from 52 hours to 5 hours.
Wait, three times five, isn't it?
Was it what?
Isn't it? Yeah,
well, it's 62 hours. Oh, wait, hours. Did I do... Is it 62?
Isn't it?
One, two. 13 times.
Wait, it's 13.
What's the math?
It's 13 times five. So it's 65 hours.
Oh, I was doing 13 times four because I was thinking four shows.
So 65. So
65. We have two
days. Yes. We save you 60 hours.
I was like, somewhere math is.
Thank you. We save you 60 hours with this one thing.
Where's your math? There we go.
Yeah. So starting off with Defenders. I'm sorry, Daredevil. Just general quick feeling for the series so people know.
Two. Hallway fight. I think if you're only gonna watch one, you dive into the hallway fight, you get a sense of like how, because that's the brutality of Daredevil. It's right. Also like he gets worn down, he has to like you introduce all the characters, you've met them, so you don't have to go through like the everybody this is Karen Page, but you get to meet Karen Page already. Karen Paging. So I think episode two with the hallway fight.
Yeah, and then plus you understand about hallway
fights. I think
fights.
The episode with Stick, like
seven
when he
or whatever,
the first
backstory?
Shows up.
Oh, yeah, his first.
The, when he, no, the backstory when
oh,
he explains.
Seven,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, that one for me because I just thought it was a really good like origin. Like it kind of lets you know.
Episode.
I know there's not enough hallway, but I think that's the one for
me. It makes sense.
Yeah,
especially for Defenders, that makes sense.
Well, for me, the hallway scene.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah.
Sorry, Justin.
Just like,
no, no.
Just,
I'm
like,
not going to disagree with you.
No,
I want you to watch all of them. Like, I'm not saying
this is a competition.
You shouldn't watch one
episode. Justin hates hallways.
Yeah. Oh my God, Matt just said that.
Just is
the
worst.
He said Justin Baker hates hallways.
Just so you guys know, it's a weird thing. Okay, my parents were killed by a hallway. I don't want to talk about it.
Was it a short hallway or was it like?
I don't want to talk about it. I said. I said good day, sir.
Did it end in an elevator?
I said good day.
Okay. So, okay, so that's the... But general feel for Daredevil, Matt Murdock is played by Charlie Cox. And he has, they actually do a really good job with giving him his supernatural powers because he is a blind man, he's a lawyer, he's struggling with, you know, just life in general, but then he's also fighting on the streets and taking care of his community. And then you have Foggy, you have Karen Page. And so you have a lawyer show meets epic badassery.
Yeah.
And my favorite thing, honestly, about Daredevil was the fact that I cared about Kingpin.
Yeah, the fact that you had two protagonists. Yeah.
Like, Vincent the Denver art episode.
Yeah,
like,
dude.
That episode if I was going to say a Kingpin show, I would say the art episode, because that one.
Well, they both had the same goal, and that was beautiful. Like, if you looked at it from an acting standpoint, they both wanted to protect their city.
So
it was
good, because I never, even, you know, reading comic books, there's never been a time when I was like, oh, Kingpin's not a, like, I've never felt for Kingpin.
But he's always just a regular guy. Yeah. And you're like, how does he just walk around? Oh, now I get it, because this is the show explaining how Kingpin works.
This is how Kingpin works.
Yes. So watch all of Daredevil.
Watch it all.
Just watch all of Daredevil.
It's Tuesday. Quit your job.
You've got plenty of time to catch up later. Yeah, just watch the next 65 hours straight.
Or watch the episodes that we just recommended. So, moving just chronologically. So Jessica Jones. For Jessica Jones, I recommend episode 8, also known as WWJD. What would Jessica do? In this, you find out all of this backstory of Kilgrave, who is the major villain for Jessica Jones. You find out the in and outs of, creepy. You know, why he is the way that he is. It's so chilling, this character, because it's fantastic. David Tennant does an amazing job. All of this happens in Jessica Jones' childhood home, and then there's a story for why they're even there. And then there's a possible redemptive arc, and I'm not going to tell you whether or not that comes to fruition. So for me, episode 8 with Jessica Jones.
You know, I'll jump on that one.
Yeah,
because that episode. I'm still getting shivers thinking about David Tennant.
He's so well done. So with Jessica Jones, well, I don't have to explain all of the things. You want it?
I feel like Jessica Jones is a show about stress. I feel like Jessica Jones is coping with stress, coping with, like, your past, coping with dealing with PTSD, dealing with mental anguish, dealing with people that are abusing you either mentally, physically, or emotionally, and it handles very, very strong themes in a way that's a superhero show. The show could have been a Lifetime movie, but it wasn't. Like, it deals with very, very real things. And
also not wanting your powers.
Yeah. And dealing with,
like,
responsibility.
And dealing with that. Like, not wanting to be a hero at all. Like, just being
Like, being okay with not being family friendly.
Yeah.
I like that. Like, of the Marvel characters, Jessica Jones she's coarse. She's very real. If you're talking grounded and gritty, then you're talking Jessica Jones.
Yeah.
And then also, it's a PI show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? She's a private eye. So, Jessica Jones. So, Daredevil season 2.
I would recommend the episode where the Punisher jailbreak, episode 7 minutes in heaven. So that would be episode 9. It gives you more of where Daredevil stands. It gives you Kingpin where he's at now in prison. It gives you Punisher in a hallway. And it gives you kind of the sense of, like, where the world lands, like what where they are. Because right before Defenders, you're going to need to understand how far along the Hand is, how far along Kingpin is, all those things. And either the finale, because that's literally the wrap up where you meet, like, the scope of the Hand, or that one. What do you think?
You know what? I'll give you this hallway.
Yeah.
Hallway. It's a good hallway. It was a good fight. It's all good stuff.
And it shows, like, the Karen and him relationship. Yeah. It shows Foggy and Matt dealing with the courtroom stuff. It really is, like, a beautiful.
Yeah, there's a lot of turmoil in that season with the dynamics of the group.
And if you only have time for one, then you need to understand where the dynamics lie before Defenders. So
that's it. All right, I'm gonna jump on that then. If you can only do one. But yeah, I loved how you kind of wrapped up where it is with that. With Jessica Jones, she goes through all this. Hell and high water. She goes through everything.
That last episode's so good.
And then coming out, the last episode, Smile. If you can only see 2 episodes of Jessica Jones, see 8 and see 13.
I think if you can see 2 of any, do an episode we recommend in 13. Like, watch the last episode of every single one,
because you need to know what's happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and they do a really good job of wrapping things up.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, okay. That's good. So our recommendation
is 10 hours instead of 5 hours.
I love how this is just we're adding more episodes.
You've got 65
on. Look,
hours.
If you got 47 hours, I want to watch all of these episodes and part of this episode and then part of that episode.
And probably
there
not
you go.
Much of this episode. Yeah.
In fact, I can recommend a series to not watch and just put more time into the other ones. But that's just me.
But with Jessica Jones, there's a lot of, Luke Cage is involved with Jessica Jones. This isn't a spoiler thing. You already kind of know this. And there's a lot of underlying themes and different characters that come in that Jessica Jones is well worth the watch if to just continue those characters on. So, yeah. So we just sit there and have season 2. Luke Cage.
Bow, 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 bow.
All right. Yeah.
First, look up Jidenna.
Yes.
And then watch
and
this
hail,
episode.
And Hail to the Chief.
Just download buy the Jidenna album. By download, I mean purchase because he's
like,
a saint.
That, the amazing. Music in Luke Cage, just listen to that. You don't have to watch anything. Just listen to the entire soundtrack of Luke Cage, and you'll get what Luke Cage
and
is.
And watch Mike Coulter riding a motorcycle.
Just that's it.
Just
that's
listen
enough for
and
me.
Watch Mike Coulter and know.
So
there you
good.
Go. Yeah, it's so incredible.
I mean, yeah, I think that you know, what is it, the first episode where he rips the car door off and he goes up to the gang house?
Yeah, he rips a couple of doors. Like, I remember he smashed a cop car in one part, and it was like, no, it was
what
like...
What, shield, and he crushed
that
dude?
Yeah.
Like, just, yeah, it's that to boost. Me is like, it just, it the whole barbershop, like, that open, like, just the beginning for me kind of sells what the entire season is about. Mm-hmm. So I think they did a really good job with the opening for me with Luke Cage. I think that first episode was enough for me to go, oh, I get what this guy's about, I get what... you know, his town is about and what he's trying to do. And, you know, you're going to get into the villains and all that stuff, and that's great. But at the end, like, Luke Cage is about his town and about his people, and, like, that's all he really wants to do.
Yeah, I like that. Because, actually, in the first episode, you get introduced to not only, like, Luke Cage, you see where he exists in this world. Like, yeah he's a street, not
he's
street,
a
he's,
barber
a,
shop,
he's a
sweeper
at Pop's Barbershop. He washes dishes at Harlem Paradise.
Because he also does not, that's why him and Jessica Jones are so great, because he doesn't want to be a hero either.
He doesn't want to be a hero. He doesn't even want people to pay attention to him, but he also can't let evil happen. He has to do something about it. So, like, with Luke Cage, it's kind of like homage to blaxploitation with, you know, urban drama, and then it's got beautiful music scores, and Harlem itself is an actual another character.
Oh, yeah.
And
so great.
And Luke Cage. So, but for me, I'm going to recommend episode 7, which is called Manifest. And in that episode, you find a lot of the motivations and the childhood motivations for the two, I'm going to call them the main villains, which is Mariah Dillard, played by Alfre Woodard, and Mahershala Ali.
Yeah.
Who plays, Cornell Cottonmouth Stokes.
Oh, God,
so, and it's great. It's really good. You understand their ambitions. You understand why they did what they're doing. And then it also has a very chilling ending to that one. So I really manifest episode 7 for me.
And then Iron Fist, I would say the RZA episode. Because RZA directed it, and it's amazing. It feels the most like the comics. There's a lot of comic arcs where he has to prove his worth by fighting multiple people, where he has to go through tournament-type things. This episode has a tournament feel. It feels like a Street Fighter game. It feels like you're fighting mini-bosses leading up to a boss.
Mm-hmm.
And it's RZA, so it's got this awesome funk hip-hop flavor to it.
It does.
And that's what Iron Fist is about. So if you want to get just a taste of Iron Fist and then watch The Defenders, I would say Immortal Emerges from Cave is the way to go.
Yeah. I mean, if you have to watch some of Iron Fist, that would be the episode.
I think watching one before going into Defenders makes sense.
Sure. I'll go with that.
All right, good. All right.
I do like RZA, so I mean, I'm not going to, you know.
For the sake of RZA.
For the sake of RZA, you should watch that episode just so that RZA gets more play.
Everyone just goes and watches that one. Like,
just
suddenly, like, Iron Fist spikes just episode 6.
Yeah. You're like, whoa, well, what does this mean?
Get RZA. Like,
what's the
two?
Thing
that's
about this
means.
Episode
that's
is different than every other episode? Oh, I don't know. RZA.
Okay, maybe like, nothing to mess with.
Right?
Yeah, and it's particularly good because I feel like it dwells into comic book source a bit more, because it goes with, because there's the Immortal Iron Fist and then there's Living Weapon. I'm not a huge fan of Living Weapon. I just feel like it's a little bit too grim for what I feel Iron Fist is, because, but remember, I come from Power Man and Iron Fist. So Immortal Weapon deals with things like Bride of Nine Spiders, Scythe. It's all these fun characters, and you feel that in this particular episode. If you have an extra 10 minutes after you've watched your 5 or 10 hours of our recommendations, then see the last 10 minutes of episode 8. Is it episode 8 or episode 10? Which one has Zhao Xing in it?
Oh, with the fight.
I believe it's episode 8. I'm going to say it's episode 8. And the last 10 minutes of it, there is a drunken master fight between Zhao Xing and Iron Fist.
8 was Louis Tan.
That's great when he comes up on him at the door.
Louis Tan.
Yeah. I did enjoy that fight.
If you have an extra 10 minutes.
That fight was fun.
Watch that. So, all right. So that's basically our recommendations and everything for that. I mean, unless anybody wants to say what they hope for with the Defenders series, I mean, we're seeing this on Friday. Everything's dropping at one time. That's 8 hours of episodes.
I mean, that trailer makes me happy. Mm-hmm. Like, if I see, you know, 13 hours of that, I'll be happy.
It's only 8, so.
Oh, it's only 8?
Yeah, it's only 8.
Unless you watch it twice.
Yeah. Oh, no. Unless you watch it twice.
No, it's 16.
Then it's 16.
That's 16.
That's more than 13, though.
It is 13. I would watch.
I love our math today. Our math is awesome.
I didn't realize there was only 8 episodes.
Maybe we're done. What happened? We did too much math.
Hello? Anthony? Aunt Anthony? Aunt Manthony?
Chat room, are we still live? We have no sound or mics.
Yeah. Hey!
Hi! How long was that muted?
That was interesting.
That just happened.
No. Okay, it just happened.
If
we're good.
If you ever wondered what it looks like to see three hosts panic with that sound.
Yeah!
All
of a sudden we couldn't hear ourselves and we were like, oh no!
Amazing.
We can't hear ourselves. How can other people hear us?
I know. I guess for the Defender series, I'm going to say what my huge hope is. I hope that Sigourney Weaver's character... Did I just smooth out again?
No, you're good.
Okay. I hope that... It's just my hearing.
I hope that
Sigourney Weaver's character, Alexandra, I hope that she is the big bad in both halves of it. I hope that she is like in her human form for the first half, and then she turns into Mephisto for the second. And then I want them to break the formula of two baddies and have it. It's still two baddies. She's two baddies.
I like that idea.
So Sigourney Weaver, she can do it.
Dude,
so
I love my Sigourney
big goal,
Weaver.
Yeah. If I had a dream goal, besides Deadpool being in it, of course.
Of course.
Would be that they introduce either Blade or Moon Knight and start Midnight Suns. Because we've come to a culmination at this point, right?
Right.
So where you go off from there is introducing a new show. We know Punisher's happening, mm-hmm. but what better place to have a surprise, Moon Knight or Blade in this?
I would love Moon Knight.
That's the dream.
Yeah. Like, I would love
Moon Knight. Would be great.
But
don't get me wrong, and I still love Blade.
We had Blade forever ago.
I know. It's been a minute. We could bring him back.
and it helped Blade.
He was the first comic book movie.
Yeah,
there's a reason why we have anything. Yeah, absolutely. No, and Wesley, power to you.
Dude, Blade 1, Blade 2, Blade 3. All great. I don't care what he says. Blade 3 is still real watchable, you guys.
Daywalkers forever.
I
love Moon Knight. I mean, that's another, and you could have another fun mental health.
That's my dream, right?
Yeah.
So that's if we're saying dream goals from Defenders Moon Knight somehow.
Dude, you mentioned Sigourney Weaver, and it always makes me think of that Jeff Foxworthy joke where he's like, I was watching this movie, and I talked to my wife about how much I loved, you know, how hot Sigourney Weaver was, and then she's like, and I was having meatloaf later that night. I was like, honey, the meatloaf's a little dry. And she's like, why don't you have Sigourney Weaver make you a meatloaf?
And that joke is still relevant today.
Right.
There you go. That's Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. Okay, so that brings us to Mary Marvelize. Some quick shout outs. Of course, Stephanie M. Gendro at Steph Amthis.
Hi, Mom.
Yeah, there you
go. Hi, Mom.
T. Rich at Nomad Rich. Therese Luz at Teresa Fortes Luz. Jacques Locke Jax at Darren Jacques. Charles Lee at GoofyFan_Chuck. JJ Lang at JJ Lang Tweeted. Tao Din at Tao Din 19. Entre Humane at Entre Humane. AJ Farinot at Cad Bane 1996, Jocelyn at Bad Wolf Bay 10, and Chris Kawa at Chris Kawa. And then special shout out to Iron Man Logan, brother of Oscar, who we shared his picture last week. You're welcome, Oscar, for us showing you your picture. They are the godsons of Debs Cap Evans at Marvel Padawan. So, and then also Joseph Hall at A Blended Soul 1. I just heard my birthday shout out on Marvel Movie News. Thank you. I love it. It was a sexy shout out that we sent out to him yesterday. So, one question. Ashley Houchins who is a male. Thank you. If Chris Hemsworth re-ups with Marvel after Avengers 4, could we see another Thor film using, the Siege arc? With rights, though, the Siege arc, that was the one where Doctor Doom, and it was like the whole thing with the Cabal, right? It has Doctor Doom, and it has Osborn in it. I believe it has Norman Osborn and Doctor Doom in it. And they hold Asgard siege.
Hmm.
Yeah. Just for the fact that it's got Doctor Doom and Osborn, and that's like, isn't Osborn Sony?
Yeah.
And Doctor Doom is Fox.
So that's already,
and they not, it's already kind of dead in the water there.
Yeah. That won't work out.
Like, yeah. It's actually really heavy with Doctor Doom and Osborn. So yeah, I don't think that one might happen. So, and then our other shout out we have from Facebook, I gave it to you, Koi. It was a little.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. So
I have a birthday shout out from
awesome.
The live chat,
yay.
Mr. Jason Simpson.
Uh-oh.
Know it was your 45th birthday, and I just hope that
ooh, keeping
you live
it young.
Just as long as the show and your namesake goes on. And
oh please,
it's
yes.
just as lively, animated, and adult oriented as that television program.
Oh adult.
Happy birthday, Jason Simpson.
Happy birthday, Jason.
And
the saxophone.
The
sax was fully drawn. There it is.
Like, yeah.
Hold on. I'm like, I see it, and you won't get to it.
It's just flipping. Facebook. We have an awesome one from Jamie Massey that says, "Hey team, I know you do shoutouts via Twitter, etc., but this is going to be a little longer. My partner and I are getting married on September 8th this year. Took a while, but I finally broke her down and got her to go see Spider-Man Homecoming. Use some of the descriptions from the podcast to entice her. I listen to her Podcast Addict. Thanks, Podcast Addict. She walked out absolutely loving it, to the point that I think I can hook her into the MCU a bit more. My next task is to get her to watch Civil War, then Ant-Man. She doesn't always love action movies, but these movies have heart, and I think she's seeing that. Just wanted to reach out for a shout before the wedding and let you know I've been a loyal listener for about 2 years now. Y'all have been doing amazing work. I really find myself getting more and more hooked with Marvel every week. We'll be donating platelets this week and watching Defenders." That is so cool!
Very cool.
That's great.
True love, Spider-Man, Defenders, platelets, you're doing good things.
Deadpool is the most romantic of all
right.
of the
movies. Yeah.
So I think if you're gonna watch
it was
one,
a Valentine's Day.
It's a Valentine's
like,
movie.
It's literally about love.
It's a love story.
It's a love story.
It is.
I don't know if you saw that.
And if you've got any kinky goals, it's the best way to pitch it. I'm just saying. This is awesome, man. And it seems like you're going on a path of comedy, which is a smart move if she's not big into action. I respect that you're going Ant-Man.
Yep.
I'd also recommend Guardians, because Guardians is very light and funny.
Yes.
If you're trying to guide her that way. This is awesome, man. So congratulations on the wedding. Congratulations on watching these movies with it's the coolest thing, isn't it? Like, to watch it with a new person, to like have someone that doesn't know that world experience it with you, get to share that magic. Dope. Congrats.
Yeah.
Relationship goals.
Right? So cool.
There you go. All the comedies together.
And then one iTunes shout out from Erock2475. Thank you. I thank you for our fantastic job. We try. We appreciate you.
Yeah. Thanks. All right. So that, unless anybody has anything else to say, that brings us to the end of the show.
Let's
close
it out. Let's plug it up.
Yeah. So Justin, where can they find you on social media and any upcoming projects?
So you can find me social media at Acts for Food, ACTS, the number 4, the word food. That pretty much is across the board. Upcoming projects. I'm going to be at LOJ this year, Labyrinth of Jareth Ball.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to be performing. So that's going to be
nice.
Fun.
Sweet. Yeah.
I'm going to be.
God, I love me some Labyrinth.
The Green Man. That'll be fun. And then my improv team performs around town. The show that shall is most of our social media. It's a Harry Potter improv team.
Nice.
So, great scene.
Please come find our shows. You can find us on Facebook as well. But other than that, living the dream.
Fantastic. Koi?
You can find me here. You can also find me on Twitter at COYJANDREAU. Same on Instagram. I do Insta reviews on Instagram, which I love that you guys love, and I take your suggestions and I try to make the ones you suggest. I'm dropping Spawn by request this week, talking about Spawn. I also do far too much Screen Junkie stuff, sometimes with Markia. And you can also find me at Burning Man. And I hope I see at least one of you there so we can talk comics in the play, because it'll blow my mind.
So you can catch me on Instagram and Twitter at Markia McCarty. That's MarkeiaMccarty. And on Wednesday, Screen Junkies is going to drop that epic level all the breakdown of Marvel, Netflix, Defenders, well, before you watch Defenders, so please check that out. And if you love wrestling, even just a little bit, on Mondays at 8:30 on our sister network, AfterBuzz TV, that I do that, the WWE Raw After Show with Johnny LaQuasto, Mark Warzeka, and also Hobo. Hobo's Hobo. You've got to see it just for Hobo. So, yeah, Ollie.
Oh, me? Me?
Yeah, you. Oh. Where can we catch you, Dreamboat?
You can find me on all social media at Ollie Dreamer. Guys, if you're in the SoCal area, go to Palm Springs Comic Con because I think I'm going this year. It's nice. It's really fun. It's a nice little intimate Comic Con if you don't like the whole crazy San Diego Comic Con life. But yeah, I'm here every now and then. But yeah.
Yeah. So thanks for joining us in the Sanctum Sanctorum today. And we'll see you on the other side of Defenders.
Yeah.
See you guys.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.